Welcome, this is Lana. Thanks for tuning in. My guest is Bree Fauché, a talented author and YouTuber. We're going to discuss her video that caused lefties to shriek. It was called The Problem with Diversity in Books. We'll also play some video clips from SJWs who had a response. This show is available in two formats, video and audio, both available on our website at redice.tv. Be sure to subscribe to our Red Ice YouTube channel so you don't miss the latest. Bree Fauché, thanks for being here.
Well, thank you for having me.
So tell us a little bit about your social and political background and how you evolved to make videos on the alt-right.
Well, when I was younger, I kind of grew up as a liberal by default. Both my parents were quite liberal, but ironically enough, I grew up in a rather right-wing kind of area. My school was very right-wing and very Christian, but not as we know it today. As far as right-wing, it was very much all gays are going to burn in hell and that type of stuff. So I kind of veered away from that. And as I got older, I went to university, and that really indoctrinated me really good with cultural Marxism. That stuff was drilled into me endlessly, and I bought into it to a point where I was practically a full-blown socialist. And then I got my master's degree overseas, and I experienced political correctness in a way that was, even to me, a bit extreme. And I realized this isn't really something that works for me. I much prefer the U.S., so I kind of became a proud patriot in that sense of being a little bit right-wing. But it really evolved for me when I discovered Stefan Molyneux's channel. I was just looking for something funny and watching George Carlin videos, and I stumbled upon Stefan's video on voting. And I thought, oh, this is so interesting. And it turned into like a 3 or 4 month binge of just Stefan Molyneux videos, one after the other. And he just threw red pills at me endlessly and broke down every belief that I had. And then he did an interview with Jared Taylor and Vox Day. I started reading Vox Day's blog every single day and learned the different facets of being right-wing, the difference between conservatives and alt-light and then alt-right.
And conservatives, of course.
Right, of course, conservatives, of course. And I kind of did a stint where I went, oh, I think I'm conservative. And I even did a video for my subscribers saying, I'm a conservative. And now I realize that I was kind of confused at the time. I didn't realize there was conservative, alt-light, alt-right, and I had already been red-pilled by Vox Day and Stefan Molyneux and Jared Taylor about things like race realism and white genocide. And then after the election, that's when I really saw the cucking firsthand of various people in the alt-light and the alternative media, and I realized the alt-right is the only movement right now that's talking about these things in any real way, things like human biodiversity and race realism and white genocide. And what really drilled it home for me, I was watching a video with Jared Taylor and George Ramos. And George Ramos was going on about, oh, I'm Mexican-American, I'm going to fight for minorities. And Jared Taylor was like, oh, okay, so what are you going to do when whites become a minority by 2042? And then George Ramos would be like, oh, no, it's all about all of us. We're all American. We're all in this together. But every time Jared Taylor talked about, what about my people? What about the fact that you're usurping our power? George Ramos would just revert back into this tribalism. And it occurred to me right then, I need to go full-blown alt-right because this is kind of a tribal strife. And whites are going to be a despised minority. And I decided to go full-blown and to start making videos just like you guys do.
Well, that's wonderful.
So much.
Welcome to the tribe, right? We're happy to have you. So you said that you went to school overseas. Where did you go? Which country?
I went to England.
Ah, so did you see firsthand all the diversity, or what did you think when you first went there as a college kid? I mean, you were into Marxism pretty much, so were you like, didn't think much of it probably?
I didn't think much of it going in. It's really reflecting now after being red-pilled that I realized just how bad it was. But I still saw that there were things wrong with it. I was being shut down by political correctness all the time for like the most minor of infractions by my classmates and by my professors. And I didn't realize what was going on and why they thought that way until I was red-pilled. And as I think back on it more and more, it makes more sense to me.
That's great that you're able to see what happened at a young age. I'm seeing more and more younger people realizing, oh my gosh, the damage. I was brainwashed in college by my professors. And you actually did a video recently called Lies My Liberal History Teachers Told Me. So, I mean, how did you wake up to this fact? Was it really the videos online that first attracted you, or when did it start happening for you where you started realizing, hey, I've been brainwashed by leftism?
I started realizing it when I was watching Stefan Molyneux, of course, and these other people in the alt-right. But even when I was in university, something didn't feel right. I just didn't know what it was. I didn't even know what political correctness was at that time. But I was being shut down in ways that I knew were wrong. We had one professor who gave us a case study about a Comanche tribe that raped a young woman on a slave auction stage in front of everybody to show his dominance over her. And I said, well, that's kind of disgusting. And the whole class immediately shut me down saying, well, whites have done so much worse. And it evolved into like a 10-minute bashing session of telling me just how wrong I was. And the more I learn about the alt-right, and the more I learn through Stefan Molyneux's videos about the Truth About series that he does on various historical aspects, the more I see the lies I've been told all over the place in university. And it was only upon reflection that I realized just how indoctrinated I was, and it made me angry. And I wanted to put my experience out there online so maybe others can see that and realize they weren't alone.
If you go to a history class, you know, in college today or even high school, you open up a history book, it's pretty much all of history that's anti-white, and only whites have enslaved and colonized and are tribal, and it's all whites' fault, everything. But all non-whites, they're just perfectly innocent. They've never warred, they've never conquered, they've never fought for land, right? I mean, it's fantasy.
Exactly. Every single time we even talked about another culture doing something the least bit bad, it was always up in comparison to what whites were doing at that time as well. And there was always this push for, you know, we can talk about other cultures and their atrocities, but we have to compare it to what whites have done as well, because that's only fair. There's no such thing as absolute truth, and all this moral relativism garbage was really shoved into me from a young age. And every time I tried to fight it, they would say, well, you're being ethnocentric.
It's only wrong when whites do it, right? All these other groups are just very hardcore ethnocentric, but only when the white girl in the room is thinking that way.
You check your white privilege.
So let's talk about your video that created quite a stir in the young adult publishing world, The Problem with Diversity in Books. So tell us about this video. What inspired you to make this video?
Pure anger. I had been a part of the BookTube community on YouTube for a couple of years. And that's just a YouTube community that talks about books, and it's mostly of a younger demographic. And I had gone through this experience starting about May of last year of getting red-pilled and discovering Stefan Molyneux and Jared Taylor and Vox Day. And the more I saw this anti-white behavior going on in publishing and going on in the BookTube community, the more I couldn't unsee it. I was listening to other really snotty girls review books saying, well, I don't want to read this book because it's just a jar of mayonnaise and it's all white people. And another girl shut me down and wouldn't even hear my opinion because, well, I'm just a chiz white woman. I wouldn't understand the plight of minorities. I'm just ignorant. And then what really set things off for me, I was in bed one night going through my Twitter feed, and an author, Victoria Schwab, or V.E. Schwab, was being harassed because she wrote a book with primarily all white characters.
Oh no.
Or, I know.
She's
what a
Nazi.
Crime. What a crime. And she actually apologized. Like, I'm sorry. I realized as a white author, I probably erred. I just went, girl, no. Be proud of your white identity. Be proud of your European roots. It's perfectly okay. The book is solid. You're fine. They're wrong. This push for diversity and social justice in books is destroying the publishing industry. And I just got to the point where I snapped and I had to say something, because these people were bullying each other. The publishing industry was bullying people. Other readers were bullying one another in the BookTube community. And the initial response was quite positive. A lot of my subscribers really liked it. I only had about 700 subs at that time. I usually get about 100 views per video back then. So I never expected it to go viral, but then it did. And I was accused of being a racist, a Nazi, a white supremacist. Victoria Schwab said I was extremely offensive. And
jeez.
Thank you, sweetheart, after I defended you. And she was like, I didn't ask to be defended.
Have you ever heard of a non-white author being charged of having too many blacks or Asians or Jews or whatever non-white characters in their book? I mean, this only applies to white authors, right?
Right, the double standard is real. I've never heard a non-white author have this standard applied to their work. In fact, if they write a book that's all Latino or all Black, it's praised. There was a book written here just recently. I'm not sure about the ethnicity of the author, but it was something I think was called The Hate You Give, and it was a book about BLM and how this kid was gunned down by the evil white cops, and the media was portraying him as a thug, and it has like 5 stars online. Like the more anti-white you are, the more your book is praised.
Yeah, you'll get more awards. Yeah, and I just think of, let's go to China as a minority, a white minority, and go demand that they put in more white people. We need to be represented in your books. Let's go to Africa and do that. Let's go to Israel and do that. That never happens, right?
It's such a spoiled mentality that I don't even understand. I mean, we have these third world immigrants coming in and they get here and they're like, we need equal representation. And I'm like, you have equal rights under the law. What more do you want? And I actually got tweets from people when this thing happened going, stupid white girl, like she's represented in everything, so she wouldn't understand our plight. And I'm thinking, minorities in the US have it better than just about any other country in the entire
Oh, yeah.
world. The standard of living here is better than any other place in the world for minorities. And the height of your oppression is that you're not being portrayed in a book. But here's the thing, whenever white authors try to write diversely and they don't do it in a way that flatters minorities and pretty much shits on white people, they're called racist.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can't have it both ways.
White people should be represented in their white countries. You know, these people have, they still have Asian countries and African countries and Latino countries, but only white countries are being charged, and most white countries are being charged with having to add diversity. But none of the, if it's so great, why isn't China doing it? Africa, Israel, Mexico? They're not doing it, are they?
Exactly. I got a comment in the video saying, look around you, sweetheart, diversity is everywhere. And I was just like, pretty sure it's not in China or Japan or Thailand or Nigeria or Argentina. Have you even been outside of your own country?
Yeah, exactly. Yep, I know. So, like in the video, you basically clarify what diversity is because it's come to just mean skin color, hasn't it? But what does diversity really mean?
To me, it means diversity of thought. Of course, when you have a particular identity, that should come out in your work, perhaps. And if you want to add diverse characters, sure, that's up to the author. But I will always be a champion for diversity of thought over diversity of skin color or diversity of ethnicity. Because to me, when I first meet somebody, I grade them on whether or not they're an asshole. I don't grade them on their skin color. I mean, I'll always be cherishing my white identity and my white European roots, but at the same time, when I meet somebody, I try to grade them on whether or not they're an asshole. And I don't go into a bookstore looking for a book thinking, I really need to read a book by a black author. I look at the synopsis and decide whether or not it's going to be a good book.
Now, what were some of the statements you made in the video you did about diversity that people just really shrieked about, that really got worked up about? I don't think you saw any of the response videos, though, did you? So you just read comments.
I read the comments. I chose not to watch the response videos because at the time the whole thing made me so sick to my stomach that I was like, meh, I'm gonna protect myself and not watch them. But now I'm kind of tempted to see some of them because my friends have told me that they're pretty hilarious.
Well, I happened to edit a few together before the show, and you haven't seen them, so I thought that we would watch it together. Let's queue up the first one. Then now the first girl here, there was two girls I took. She's very mellow, very mild. The second one's actually funnier, but let's queue up the first one, clip one.
In regards to B.E. Schwab, and I think her video all started because there was a person on Twitter who tweeted B.E. Schwab and pointed out that there was a lack of diversity in her books. And Brie, during her rant, was trying to defend B.E. Schwab and say the reason why B.E. Schwab didn't write about diversity is because she was just writing what she knew. That's like saying that B. Schwab doesn't know that people of color are just like any other person. We have jobs, we have families, we
Oh
go to
my God, you
school.
do?
We're just like any other person.
You
They're
don't
just
say. You have DNA
Oh my
and blood in your
God.
system.
They're human. They go to the bathroom and they sleep and they have to eat. How could you not know
Seriously,
this?
how can you not know that we actually have a heartbeat?
I mean, that's just so absurd. Let's watch the second one.
If you ever do come across an author who you feel lacks diversity in their books for malicious reasons, then I am of the opinion that yes, you can express yourself in a non-hateful way, but also don't support that author. Don't give them any publicity.
Yeah. So follow my views, right? We're okay with diversity of opinion, but let's boycott people that think like this and let's shame them and not support them and be loud about it, right?
You'd be shocked how often that happens to authors. Well, they will just flat out protest a particular author because they're not diverse enough. Because that's mature.
Yeah, see, they don't want diversity of thought. And we'll see that as these clips continue here.
And she says that people tend to desire being around their own races and ethnicities. So, one, I disagree with that. I think that people gravitate to other people with the same interests, the same hobbies. People tend to gravitate towards the same people with the same personality types.
And generally, that is there's a racial component there. Asians have certain interests, right? They're good at certain things. They have certain personality types, right?
People want to be around their own. Yeah. I mean, I saw this even when I was in high school. The blacks sat with the other blacks, the Latinos sat with the other Latinos because they could relate to each other because of their personal identity. And the whites had their own corner. So this idea, that's just ridiculous. We are a tribal species.
Of course. And how many times have we, you know, heard blacks or Asians say, you don't understand what it's like to be black or Asian. So they're generally not friends with white people. They might have a few because, you know, the TV shows show that you have to have one of each now or something because it looks cool. But when it comes to people they actually relate to, it's going to be their own people they have a shared culture with and ancestry with. Look around the world. Everyone self-segregates. It's self-evident, right?
They do. And this diversity push is very forced to the point where it's not healthy and not natural.
Yeah, that's right.
She hears it brought up to authors that there's a lack of diversity. She is hearing anti-white, that there's too much white people, mm-hmm. that there shouldn't be white people in books, that it should just be people of color. And I totally disagree. When I think of diversity, when I hear lack of diversity, I interpret that as inclusion, that you can have as many white people in your books as you want, but please,
no, you can't.
Don't forget to include other people with other backgrounds, other ethnicities, of different color, of different sexual orientations. Don't forget us. Don't forget about these people.
So, sure, you can have some white people, but you have to have, you know, blacks and Asians and Jews and trannies. So you can have just all white people then, right? White straight
people.
Didn't
she just say something along those lines? We will protest books that don't have enough diversity, but we're not anti-white. We're not anti-white or anything.
I mean, are you going to try and tell me that diversity means more white people or having white people? It means
only ever forced on white countries.
I know. It means less white people. And a lot of times when you look around, when you look at businesses who say they've diversified, it means no white people. I mean, there's no
exactly.
white people.
Exactly. It's just such a privileged attitude that I knew existed in the author world, but I had no idea to the degree until I got the backlash that I did. And I just couldn't believe the amount of people who were telling me that they earn the right to be in somebody's book. And if an author doesn't include them, that the book is subpar in some way, like you have control over an author's imagination. I don't know.
Yeah, and then you just want to ask this little Asian girl, well, do you think that Asian countries should diversify and have some, you know, straight white couples in these books that Asians are making, right?
Seriously, why aren't these Asian authors putting in white characters? If you ask me that, maybe that's racist.
So there was a part in Bree's video where I think she went totally off topic and was kind of just highlighting her ignorant point of views. And that is where she goes on and on about how the birth rate of white people is at a decline. For the record, I think this is totally off topic too.
No, it's not. Because you're saying that whites are a minority and we're shrinking even that minority, right?
Yeah, you talk about more minority inclusion. Well, we're going to be a minority, I think Jared Taylor said, by 2042. So what are you going to do about including us as a minority in books one day?
And furthermore, blacks and Asians are far from a minority. I mean, there's more Asians and blacks in the world. Travel. I've been around the world. The majority of the world is not white.
Exactly. We represent, 10% of the world population?
If that even. It's even less because they're trying to classify, you know, Arabs and mestizos as being white as well. So we're probably
when they do something bad, they call them white Hispanic.
Yeah, exactly. So we're probably 5-6 percent of the population. And I think you said, speaking of this topic, your grandfather had had an influence on you. He had said something about in a video, he said that whites will be a minority one day, right? Your grandfather said this. He's right.
He did. He saw it happening long before he passed away. He told me that those minority laws need to be in place because we are going to be a minority soon and a despised minority potentially. Not even potentially. I mean, definitely when you say stuff like this. And he used to tell me when he lived in New Orleans, you could get on a train car and know somebody's, or sorry, a streetcar in New Orleans, and know somebody's entire life story by the time you get off. Nowadays, you get on a streetcar in New Orleans, nobody talks to each other because the racial tensions are so bad. And he saw this happening. He saw the breakdown of the nuclear family. He saw the white birth rate going on the decline. And I think he kind of realized that when you lose the white population, you're going to lose the good things that the good qualities about the West in general. He realized that was going on and he kind of warned me about it.
Absolutely. Western civilization is European civilization. Without Europeans,
exactly.
There is no Western civilization.
And that's one of the things I realized about the alt-right that made me want to join the alt-right is that they always go on about pro-West, pro-West. But I'm like, yeah, but you're not going to have a Western world without a majority white population.
Yeah, a lot of the alt-light is okay. I mean, I've even heard Alex Jones say, I don't care if I'm a minority. I don't care if it's all blacks and Asians and Indians around me. Yeah, we care because it's going to change everything.
Go furthermore downhill. Once
right.
You see race realism and human biodiversity, you know the direction it's going to go if whites become a minority.
That is correct.
It is a 22-minute and 44-second long video.
She's a winner.
Basically spewing hate. And by now it has gathered thousands of views.
Truth. Hate
and
facts.
And it is just a completely immoral and ignorant viewpoint that this woman has. And so it needs
Explain.
To be addressed. I only have a few things that she said
facts.
Here because I stopped after a while. She goes on to say the Islamic
you didn't
slave
even listen
trade,
to the whole thing.
Which, by the way, was 10 times worse than the American slave trade, but no one ever asked for reparation from the Muslims. Like, why are you comparing the two? Why?
Because truth matters, right?
Right, because whites are always getting crap for the slavery of blacks, constantly. We're constantly told that we need to give reparations to black people, even though, what was it, like, maybe 2% of the U.S. population owned slaves, and 28% of that percentage point were free blacks.
Yeah, at the height of slavery, it was only 6% of people.
Right, at the height of slavery. We're always given crap for it. We're always being taught that we have this horrible history of enslaving blacks. And nobody ever talks about the Barbary slave trade at all, or the fact that Arabs enslaved blacks to a much higher degree, and that it was far more brutal. It's only whites that need to learn their own history and need to pay reparations to black people and their plight and their oppression, because we're just so awful. So basically, we're being made to feel guilty for not having committed crimes to people who have never picked cotton.
She goes on to say, every single culture in existence has resisted diversity by means of killing each other, segregating one another, and saying it was immoral to even be around one another. Literally, only white people have done that.
Wait. Literally Hitler, right?
Prove me right.
All right. comment on that. Comment on what you just said there.
Oh, they say that I'm ignorant, saying that only whites have ever been bad, only whites are supremacist. She's showing her own ignorance. I'm a history major. You can't get that by me. I've studied how the Japanese invaded China and all sorts of other cultures that have always dominated over each other, how it was mostly Africans who enslaved other Africans and then sold them to the whites. The Catholics and Protestants want nothing to do with each other in Ireland, often still to this day. Diversity is only ever pushed on white people and all these other cultures, China, Japan, Nigeria, all these other countries, they don't value diversity. They don't push for multiculturalism. It's only whites that are told that they have to have diversity or they're racist and they're Nazis and they're white supremacists.
Yeah, and it's this peachy, fuzzy idea that all of non-white history has just been unicorns and candy and just happy times, and they just never fought. It's only the white people that are into war and conquest, right?
Exactly. I mean, Fidel Castro never did anything bad, right? Che Guevara never did anything bad, or Pol Pot, or any of those awful people. It's only been whites.
It's ridiculous. All right, let's finish that clip there.
Only white people have done that. Throughout history. If you open a history textbook,
which is written by leftists,
it's all laid out for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's all laid out for you, like we just said, because it's full of anti-white history. That's why.
Exactly. You're being indoctrinated. I feel sorry for her because I know the level of indoctrination that she's gone through. I know what it took me to break free of it and to realize that all my textbooks were provided to me by the government through public schooling and Common Core, and it's nothing but left-wing indoctrination to pit people against one another and create this divide between us. So just...
And like you said, to go back to that one point, history is full of people resisting what we know as diversity, right? People don't, right. They don't want that.
That's why one of the reasons why they created the EU, right, was because none of the European countries could get along. And it was supposed to help unify them in some way.
Yeah. I mean, it's just never worked, obviously. It creates conflict, and we're smart enough to see that and to realize that. And what they're pushing isn't diversity. It's just monoculture and a mono view. They actually hate diversity and hate difference of thought, as we see as this clip continues here.
Overall, diversity of race, ethnicity is meaningless. So what she's basically saying is that my life, all of our lives as people of color, are meaningless. My life as a woman, my life as a Cuban Mexican American doesn't matter, according
to her. She's a Mexican American.
My triumphs as a, you know, Latina, Chicana, whatever, don't matter, according to her.
See, she puts her ethnicity before being an American. She is tribal. She proved me right.
Yeah, exactly. And she takes it so personally.
As a Chicano Latino. Yeah.
And she's also admitting that diversity means people who aren't white.
Right.
Come on. It's ridiculous. I love that.
And I don't care about Chicano, her being Cuban, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. You want to gas her. And that's what it really means, right? That's, you want to round up all the people who aren't white and put them in the gas chamber. That's what it means.
Exactly. I'm 20 years old, and I, for a few years now, have been
little baby
learning more about what they basically don't teach you in history class when you're in high school. And so I took a Chicano studies class.
In
a
Marxist class.
Semesters ago. I only took the one. I took a women's studies class. Uh-huh. And you learn more about things.
Sure you do.
I feel bad for her because those are the exact classes that push this agenda.
Of course.
Any class that ends with the word studies is leftist indoctrination.
Oh, it's so classic to these kids. They leave high school and they go meet, you know, their Marxist professors, and they're like, my world has changed. I've learned the truth about things now in my women's studies course. I mean, it's such a cliche. These lefties.
They place these professors on a pedestal of knowledge, and they forget that these professors went to the same universities, had the exact same courses, exact same indoctrination process, and the vicious cycle just continues.
Towards the end, she basically, with such anger and like,
that's not true,
livid in this
it was
video,
called a rant, and for a reason.
She's like, in the end, you all basically want less white people, and you all, you know, you're racist against white people.
Yes.
You cannot be racist to white people.
And there it is.
There it is.
Yeah. They actually believe this bullshit.
You cannot be racist to white people because it's white people that are racist to everybody else.
Oh, yeah. See? There you go.
We have to be cured of our evil racism. It can't possibly be the fact that you were told wrong.
I mean, this is classic 101 stuff here. Where, I mean, all these young leftists are the same. They spout the same anti-white rhetoric, which is stuff that we've been laughing about here for a while now. I mean, it's a stereotype that applies. All these young kids, they come out of college and they think they've seen the light and now they're anti-white, right?
Right, but they don't realize they're anti-white. They're just pro everybody else.
And it's only white people. History is full of, you know, white people doing bad things. But us as Latinos, we've never fought. We've never had any conflicts.
Ever heard of Santa Anna?
Yeah, exactly.
Possibly the most important and the most obvious response to this is that we live in a world where there's more than just white people. We live in a world that's very diverse.
Let's go. Why does every white country have to be diverse? Because you go to Mexico, it's not diverse, or China or Nigeria, or pick any non-white country, India, it's not diverse. This only applies in white countries. And these people, are they just too dumb to realize that? Or have they not traveled? Or do they not even think about it because they hate white people so much?
I think it's a combination of just ignorance and being indoctrinated by leftist professors. Wasn't it just in Mexico up until recently they had an amendment to their constitution that made it illegal for their politicians to change the demographics of the country because they valued their heritage that much. I mean, I think a lot of countries have that as amendments to their laws, where it's illegal for the politicians to change the demographics of the country because they actually value their heritage and value their identity and value their race. And it's well known that when you have mass immigration from other countries, you're going to lose that.
That is correct.
It's considered a crime against the people. But we whites don't have an identity, you know.
And you're true. Mexico has harder immigration laws than America. Mm-hmm. Most of these third world non-white countries, well, most third world countries are non-white, have harder immigration laws than white countries. And they have laws in place to protect their demographics. Mexico actually is very loud about protecting their demographics. And when immigration is upsetting that, they have the right to remove you. So if we asked her, what would she say to that? She would probably deny it. Oh, that's not true. You're facts and figures, right?
Yeah, I heard Stephen Molyneux say this once, and I think it's very true. He said something to the effect of only 10% of the human population can be swayed to think otherwise with facts, reason, and logic being presented to them. And I think I'm among that 10% because I was able to look at facts that were completely reversed to everything I'd ever been taught. And I went, wow, that's so interesting. Tell me more. But obviously, when I presented facts to this young woman, she didn't even want to look it up. She didn't even want to look up or Google the fact that white genocide is a thing. And through miscegenation, we're being outbred. And yes, non-whites tend to breed at a faster rate and have more children than whites. We are quickly becoming a minority. Looking that up would be too much worse. It's much easier to just be, nope, she's just racist.
That is correct. And that is what they do.
What if I, or what if a little, you know, Latina girl was reading a book as a kid and, you know, the character in this book was, you know, a Latina woman and she saves the world and she does something to make a difference in the world and society. And so this little girl reads this and she becomes motivated and inspired. And so she grows up with this mentality of, yeah, I can do this. I can be somebody. I can make a difference. If this person can do it in this book, in this certain piece of media that I read or saw or whatever, so can I.
Yeah, this is her argument for why we need diversity in publishing. And it's all self-centered on her ethnicity and, little Mexican girls or Cuban girls. Well, guess what? They have publishing in their own countries. You have your own authors. Why do white people have to write stories that include everyone else? Why can't your own people have their own printing press and their own books and their own stories, right?
Right. Why do you need to be pandered to? I mean, if it's so important for you to have a Latina in a book that saves the world to motivate other Latina girls, write your own book. If you don't think there's enough of that out there, write your own gosh darn book. And you're immediately opening a book and trying to base your identity into a character. Like, and I realize identity is important. I identify as a European American. I realize it's very important and that people hold on to it. But forcing it into a book like that just makes absolutely no sense. When it gets to the point where you can't relate to a character's struggle or their try-fail cycles and the adventure they're having in the book, and you chalk it down to, it's just a white girl saving the world. I can't relate to this character. She's saving the world and she's white, and I can't draw any moral lessons from that because it's not a Latina. How close-minded is that?
Pretty close-minded.
Right, because it's different, but at the same time, it's the same.
Diversity is great because it's different, but at the same time, it's the same.
Slight contradiction.
And that's just what it is, you know? I mean, that is what diversity is doing, right? It's creating just taking all the colors and mushing it all together, whether the color
is
race
diverse,
or thought. No, just mushing it together and making it one just slop of nothingness. You know, I mean, even they're confused when they're trying to tell you why it's so great. They have no valid reasons, let alone moral charges of why it's so great, do they?
No, they don't have any kind of logic or reason on their side, which I think is why the alt-right is winning the argument as far as diversity and multiculturalism to begin with. They can't match up to us in a debate on these things because we'll just start going off about, okay, diversity is a strength. How about that migrant crisis? How about that rape epidemic going on in Sweden or in Germany? Yeah, that diversity is really beautiful.
Basically, it seems like, yeah, you can't win people over with facts and figures, so you can change the dialogue by basically culture, right? Influencing culture. And then the second way it's been done in history is through force. It's happened through war. And then you force people into your opinion. And that's really what's happened with a lot of lefties, I think, post-World War II.
Absolutely.
Diversity in media, in this case in books, can save lives.
Oh, God, how dramatic. I've never had a book save my life. Maybe the Bible has saved lives, but...
It can save lives. I mean, this is just too easy, these people. I mean, come on, the left is so weak. It's just, there's nothing there. We can slay these people. They don't even make sense.
They haven't been challenged. None of these kids who made these response videos have been challenged in any of their opinions because they live in an echo chamber. I realize the hard way that the BookTube community and the publishing community is one loud leftist echo chamber. So they don't have to be challenged on these things. They don't have to match up in a debate with actual facts.
So afraid. What are you so threatened by? We as people of color are not going to do anything to hurt you.
Sure.
We're not going to let you do what you have been doing to us. We just want to exist. We just want to be represented.
Don't play all innocent. And she goes on to say, we're not going to change laws. Affirmative action, special loans, scholarships, grants, immigration laws. This is just full on conquest and invasion. Don't try and play all innocent, right?
Exactly. They're directly trying to usurp our power in our country. Few of these people realize that prior to 1965, the U.S. was 85% to 90% white. And we've been very generous with the third world people who have come here, giving them all kinds of things. And they act like they're so oppressed. We need more representation. We need more Latina state senators, which is one of the things I saw in that Jared Taylor, George Ramos discussion was it was all about fighting for minorities and they're so oppressed here. And then Jared Taylor is going on about, yeah, what are you going to do when we're a minority?
Yeah, exactly. And then you get the faction that just admits, well, this is full-on revenge for what they think happened during colonialism. And it's like...
Yeah, but we're not anti-white.
And a lot of these mestizos are mixed race. I mean, Mexico is around because of the
Europeans.
Yeah, exactly. And a lot of these people try and compare the, you know, third world invaders coming in today with European colonialists who were exploring. They were exploring, they developed lands, they also left a lot of good things with people. They just act like all they did is came and raped and pillaged and did all these awful things, like they didn't leave behind anything good or intermarry with the people. Yet, exactly. If white people are so bad, why do they all want to flock to our white countries,
exactly.
Right?
Why do you want to come here if we're so terrible, if we're so racist, and if colonialism was so bad, then how come every single culture that we have touched has gotten significantly better because we built roads and highways, gave them cars, literacy rates, their GDP got better, their birth rates got better, modern medicine is all a result of colonialism.
That's right. And we also have to think in terms of the colonies were actually smaller populations, small groups of people. We didn't have the ability for mass transit and mass transportation like we do today. So now we have millions of people coming over at a time, whereas back then it was very dangerous setting up this country. It was pioneers and settlers cannot be compared to these invaders that come over and get welfare today. In America alone, the settlers and the pioneers that came here, half of them died trying to set up this country that they all now like want to come in and get a piece of while they complain on the people who built it up.
And they treat them with such disdain, like these awful white people came over here. And I'm thinking, oh, the awful white people who fought for your freedom away from the British in the Revolution and in the War of 1812 and set up these wonderful colonies for you to live in and to thrive in and made sacrifices and died of smallpox and had their hair set on fire by Native Americans. like all that is apparently worthless now, even that helped to create the country that you live in today and helped to give you the quality of life that you have. But they were just wicked patriarchal men, right?
So what do you think about that dumb statement a lot of people have been making that characters have to be diverse because our world is diverse?
It's just a lack of knowledge. I think a lot of them are very young. They've never been outside the country. They don't realize that these other cultures outside of the U.S. and outside of white countries is very homogenous in its majority of their own ethnicity. Japan and China and all these other countries don't really have minority groups. They protect their demographics. So to say that has to be in a novel in order to make it better, I'm just thinking, how many novels have you read? How many good ones have you read?
Yeah, it's utterly ridiculous. So thinking of diversity pushers, in your view, you know, they've come to think that they're morally superior. So how do we end this, in your view?
I don't know if there is any end to it, because it's something that I've noticed as an author, observing other authors, they get attacked regardless of whether or not they include diversity. There was an author just recently, Kira Drake, back in November. She wrote this great fantasy novel called The Continent, and she had an indigenous tribe in there, and the book bloggers and the publishers and other authors gunned for her in such a horrible way, very similar to what they did to me, because, well, she didn't fall in line with this whole noble savage versus the evil white men.
Yeah.
Like, her indigenous tribe was actually indigenous and had indigenous practices that would be quite shocking to the other race of lighter-skinned people coming in. So because she didn't adhere to that, the publisher had to cancel the book, and I think they're revising it right now. But even when authors pander to these minority bullies, they're equally screwed.
Yeah.
In my experience.
Yeah. People don't want it. They don't care about it. And it's funny too, because when you go overseas in films and you go to China, they don't mind looking at white people for some reason. I guess it's because they're unique. We are people of color, right? Different hair colors and eye colors. Mm-hmm. We are unique that way. I remember being in different obscure countries and they would want to stare and check you out because we look different, and that's okay. That's what people do, you know?
Exactly.
They would rather look at white people though, but they, for some reason, they don't like looking at as many non-white people in some of those other countries. It's interesting.
I wasn't aware of that. I remember when I was at an airport as a kid, this Japanese guy came over and touched my hair because I was blonde at the time and he'd never seen blonde hair.
Yeah. And that's okay. You didn't view that as, oh my God, that's racist, right?
What are you doing?
Yeah, I mean, we check each other out. We're curious. We look. I mean, mm-hmm. So what? Well, you brought up the fantasy genre there, and I've noticed I've liked sci-fi movies. Well, I used to, but they've really diversified or added a lot of diversity into this sector of sci-fi that's usually been what a lot of white kind of geeky people like to see. Mm-hmm. But have you noticed that in the written genre of fantasy and sci-fi?
Oh, yes. It's everywhere. It's polluted fantasy and sci-fi. The SFWA Association, which is the Science Fiction and Fantasy Writers Association, is completely left-wing, completely pro-diversity and multiculturalism, and it filters down into their books to the point where things like the Hugo Awards are nothing but big virtue signaling parties from one publishing company to another. And that's one of the reasons I really like Vox Day, is that he started the Rabid Puppies campaign, which pretty much got books nominated that would never be nominated otherwise by these left-wing virtue signaling publishing companies. And he managed to get something like 40 to 60 books nominated that would never be nominated because they were by conservative authors or they didn't adhere to these social justice type principles. I had a friend go to a conference because writers have to get an agent in order to get published. And all the agents had were SJW talking points. So basically, if you have a book with a disabled Muslim who's attacked by a white guy and is totally oppressed here in the US, you have a good chance of getting published.
Oh, God. I mean, people have to be fed up with this crap already. And authors have to have a backbone and some artistic integrity and stand up for themselves and be like, I refuse to do it. It's interesting, all this, you know, they claim to want all this diversity, but it's really just leftism, right? It's anti-whiteism and leftism. That's all it's become.
That's all it is. And they push for it like nobody's business. And, you know, they police each other. I've seen it online where they police each other and condemn each other and call one another racist in the author community and attack one another when they're not diverse enough. So, you know, we don't need to have the cops policing us for these leftist principles when the people police themselves.
I always wonder, too, at one point will European countries, and they always say, there's no white country. Yeah, a bunch of bull. But at one point, is it going to be diverse enough for them, right? When we're not here at all?
Pretty much, when they have superiority. That was another thing from the Jared Taylor, George Ramos thing, the discussion that I really appreciated was because he kept bringing that up. Was as far as how much power will be enough. Look at the black community. They have a black president. They've had a black attorney general. They dominate sports. They dominate the hip hop and music industry. And you still hear about, we need equal representation. You wouldn't understand because you're white. And I'm going, have you seen how well some of these black people do in these said industries? You have plenty of representation. What are you talking about?
And furthermore, travel around Africa. It's all blacks. I know Northern Africa is Arabs, but it's a lot of blacks. So you can always go there and just be represented everywhere in all things. We have nowhere we can be represented. I mean, even go to places like Sweden or Finland, where they're a small minority group, and even they now have to include these other people. I mean, Miss Helsinki, who just won, was a Nigerian. Nigeria has, what, 150 million people, something like that, in their population. Finland has five. Who's the minority? The blonde Finnish girl or the Nigerian girl, you know?
I saw that on your Twitter feed, and I was just repulsed by it. That was the biggest virtue signal in the world of how progressive they had become, that they had a black pageant winner. I couldn't believe that, honestly. And looking at that picture, I know it's bitchy, but we know who was the prettier.
I know. It's just true. I mean, not trying to be mean here, but she was ugly, downright ugly, you know?
Oh, okay. When you look at that picture, you're like, yep, that was a virtue signal. Definitely.
And everybody knows it. I mean, come on.
Yes,
everybody.
We're just saying it.
Well, another area you and I both like to rip into is feminism. And on the other side of the coin, that's also as ridiculous at times, is, you know, MGTOW, who equally has some major issues. You know, there's guys, you know, demanding apologies from all women, every woman they meet. Give me an apology. You know, I don't. They all have issues, and maybe it's a good thing that they're not breeding. But both sexes, I think, have been guilty of, you know, falling short. Right? What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, I'll be the first to say, yes, feminism is poison. It's toxic. It's done a lot of damage that I would like to see undone. But MGTOW is not an answer. When I went to their website and it said, men going their own way and choosing to duck out from society, I don't know what it is, but I was never raised with that kind of mentality of, I'm just going to check out. This is too hard. Sorry. I mean, I've always just had this attitude, even if you're doomed, kind of like at the end of that movie Fury with Brad Pitt, yeah, we're all going to die, but I'm going to take down every single bastard with me.
Yeah,
that's exactly the kind of fighter attitude I was raised with. So I don't really understand these MGTOWs when they went off in my comment section of one of my videos saying, screw you, woman, they called me the C word, and you don't understand anything, and screw feminism, screw women, defend yourself. I was talking about the rape epidemic in Sweden and how the feminization of men could be seen as maybe a little bit a fault of that. And I would like to see that change, and we need to stop feminizing men and telling them that their masculinity is toxic. Men, I like you just the way you are. I like a good masculine man. I can bounce a quarter off your pecs. I like that. Keep it up. And this feminization of men has just been toxic to the world. I like masculinity. And when I said that in the video, the response from MGTOW was pretty much just, screw you, bitch, defend yourself. We're not going to do it.
Well, I mean, seriously, what kind of grown men that actually have something going on have time to harass women in comment sections on YouTube? So, I mean, they must have miserable lives.
Doing that.
Yeah, exactly. And I was thinking, okay, you're going your own way, so gay? Are you going to go be gay now? Is that what this is? Right?
Why are you on a keyboard as a keyboard warrior? Shouldn't you be like going out doing something?
Okay, go your own way with a bunch of men. Okay, what does that sound like to me? It sounds pretty gay.
It does. I mean, I'm sure MGTOW started as something good, and a lot of men have been burned by feminism. Maybe they lost their kids in child court, or their women treated them like they were disposable. But at the end of the day, just cutting out and saying, I'm out of here, screw society.
Or whining and thinking that all women are exactly the same. Just because I've been burned a few times, you know, now I'm going to go be bitter at everyone. It's like those people who they've been burned and I'll never love again. You know, it's their little drama queens. Come on, get your shit together.
Seriously, get your shit together.
But then also you give some top 10 things women should do to get their shit together. So you did a video where you get into this. So share some of those things while we have a little time left.
Yeah, that was a bit of a response video because of the MGTOWs that came onto the previous video where I told men, I like you the way you are. Be masculine. I like that. And they trashed the video. And to me, it really comes down to women need to get back to their roots of femininity. I think a lot of the toxicity going on between the genders right now have to do with women treating men like they're disposable. That is largely to blame, at least in my opinion, from the destruction of the nuclear family, women not getting married and choosing to have a career. And I am of a traditionalist viewpoint. I think that women should go back to what makes us women and realizing that as genders, we are supposed to complement one another. We don't need to have an equal playing field. You can't have it all. You need to make a choice whether to be a career woman or to have children. I would vouch for having children because studies have overwhelmingly shown that women are happier and more satisfied with their life at home rather than being a slave to their corporate master on a keyboard all day getting all kinds of back problems. So the points that I was making in that video were pretty much find a love of your life, choose wisely, have children, realize that feminism is toxic, and it's not even designed to be in your favor. I think the CIA supported feminism for two main reasons. They could get women into the workforce, meaning that they could tax half the population and get more income tax, and they realized that they could get children into schools quicker to start that indoctrination even faster. So I really want to help women to realize that being a mother and being proud of that and embracing the things that make us feminine, like having children and being a loving wife and being in a committed relationship, is going to help, at least in my opinion, to heal a lot of things going on between the genders right now that's caused gender relations just to become a big hot mess.
And the people that are really talking about this are nationalists, is the alt-right. I mean, we are providing answers here. And I mean, a lot of the MGTOW guys can't complain. Don't they want a feminine woman who can do these things? Or are they trying to wuss out of being a man? Because we need men to be men and we need women to be women, and they come together. And sure, there's little differences in every relationship and everyone does things a little different, but we are really providing a workable answer here. I think that's why we're seeing a lot of, you know, the MGTOW guys come over. What do you think?
Has there been a big movement of them over?
There has been some. There has been some that have come into the alt-right. And if they could let go of their bitterness, then I think that they'll find a woman, right?
I've been thinking we need to find an alt-right dating service.
Yeah, I've thought about that. And then it's like, okay, but what if it's just all guys that end up on there and some of the girls get scared away?
Exactly. Strange thing. Back when I was a part of the BookTube community, the demographics of people watching my channels was mostly female. And immediately when I started making alt-right political content, my audience is 80% male. Not that I'm complaining. I love it.
But yeah, I guess politics is more...
there's a lot of them in there.
Politics is more male brain stuff. And I've been thinking about that lately too. Yes. Is there a way to approach some of these political things from a female brain perspective?
I think emotions. You have to trigger their emotions. And I think meme culture has helped a lot with that, at least maybe in some small way. But women cater to their emotions. That's just the sad, honest truth. And it's considered sexist now to say it, but I'm going to call us on it. We're driven by emotion. And I'm not sure how we can bridge that divide and bring more women over, because like I said, it's a very small percentage of the population that can be swayed by logic and reason. But by golly, I'm going to continue making videos to try to help out.
I think that's great. I think you're doing a great job. And that last question for you. So what are some thoughts on what we'll see with Trump in the office? What do you think is going to happen in the next 4 years?
I think there's going to be a lot more protests, a lot more unrest, a lot more minorities thinking that they're being oppressed, and they're going to double down on that narrative. But I've pretty much decided, even though I don't approve of all his cabinet choices and such, when you hire someone for a job, you shouldn't micromanage them. You hired them for a reason, because they showed that they had the skill set. And I'm going to give them those first 100 days, and then I'm going to be very critical. But the main thing for me is build that gosh darn wall and fix immigration. I wouldn't mind going back to like a 1920s or 1930s policy of immigration where it was predominantly Western European, so we can cure the demographics in this country because they're just completely messed up right now. And we need to get those white birth rates up. So if he doesn't do that, I'm going to be extremely disappointed, and I will consider him to be kind of a bump on the road maybe to eventual decline.
Yeah, it's true.
I really hope that's not the case. But honestly, if he builds the wall, if he makes a good solid effort to fix immigration to being more pro-European and pro-white and anti-third world immigrants that are unskilled that we don't need, and keep out people from heavily Islamic terrorism countries, countries that have a high rate of terrorism, I will be happy.
Well, Bree, I want to thank you for your time today. And of course, I want you to share your website, let people know how they can see your videos. And I know that you've also self-published something. So tell us about it.
Yes, you can find my YouTube channel. That's Bree Fauchet. That's BREFAUCHEUX, because I know it's difficult to spell. You can also find me on Twitter and Gab at Bree_Fauchet. I write on my blog, or at least try to write on my blog at least twice a day. And I write about various political content and social issues going on within the alt-right or just whatever's interesting me at that time. And I also have self-published books. I will admit they are quite feminine. They have female leads in them. So if you're into that kind of thing and you like young adult paranormal stories, I have some good stories in there for you. And yeah, that's where you can find me.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much. I'm glad we've connected and we should do this again sometime. Okay.
Great. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Thanks to Red Ice members and supporters for making this interview possible. If you like what we do and want to help support us, sign up for a Red Ice membership at redicemembers.com and get full access to all our content, or donate at paypal.me/redice. Visit redice.tv for more radio, video interviews, TV, and upcoming live streams. And don't miss our live weekend TV show called Weekend Warrior, available exclusively to Red Ice members. That's it for now. See you next time.